Yeah.
And one.
I like this third. That's all right.
All right, what do you want? You tell me what you want.
I don't know.
What do you want today?
I don't know.
You know what I want today?
I don't know. What do you want today?
You don't. We never actually ask our listeners what they want.
That's a good point. We were real selfish. That's bad. That's not good.
We just tell them stuff that's on our mind. And we're like, listen to this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically a therapy session. Thank you for this, all this free therapy. Thank you so much.
Yes. I think I mentioned it a couple episodes ago, but this is like cathartic for us because there's a lot on our minds.
Yep.
Like, yep. All the time. So mm-hmm. Whether it's talking about NHL or like Spider-Man, it helps us like get stuff off of our mind.
Stay home. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm going to...
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Yes. So good to hear from you again.
Yes, yes. We took a look at our recent statistics, and it seems that most
wild.
Of you are from Apple Podcasts, so that's strange. And most of you are from the U.S. as well. Okay, hi. Hello, our American friends. We love you.
Bonjour, mon ami. Bienvenue au Canada. Yeah, we speak French here, sorry.
I barely understood what that meant, and I took French till grade 9.
It means welcome to Canada. Sorry, hello, my friends. Welcome to Canada. There you go. Mm.
Hell yeah.
Anyways.
So I think last episode I talked about, we're going to bring up Kyle Beach. We're going to save that for next episode for sure.
Just next week's going to be a not fun one. Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna save that stuff for Monday. For today, we haven't read too much. We haven't caught up on everything yet. And we want to, whenever we talk about that kind of stuff, we want it to be like an educated, informed opinion. And so we're not there yet. So
yeah,
to save ourselves, to save ourselves from the wrath of the internet / also in order to be politically correct, let's wait a little bit longer.
Yeah. Yeah, so like we're gonna have a couple of things coming out on Monday. Sorry, there's obviously a lot of news in that general region right now, circling around the NHL with Evander Kane. Obviously, the settlement with Kyle Beach and John Doe 1 and John Doe 2. Connor McDavid had some very interesting comments regarding the Oilers' interest in Evander Kane. So, and there's just a whole lot of stuff. I think we're gonna try to talk more about on Monday. Like Armand said, we haven't really had the chance to really kind of make sure we had all the information. We're very busy people at this moment in time. So again, we're going to try to have everything ready for Monday, so we can kind of actually have like what we were saying when the Kyle Beach stuff first came out, just so we can get as much information as we can on it, so we can actually have like an actual discussion about it, because I don't think it's really fair to those affected, John Doe 1 and John Doe 2, to kind of have this conversation basically half-assed for the sake of just getting it out, like, at a time when it's basically really fresh. So, yeah, hopefully those of you who can wait, hopefully those of you who want to hear our thoughts can wait till Monday. But if not, we obviously apologize in advance. But it shouldn't be too much. Longer.
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently we have a few new listeners now, and we want to treat you guys with the same level of, I guess, respect that we treated our initial audience. So we want all our opinions to be as informed as possible. So we'll wait a little bit longer.
Yep.
Okay. So today we're mainly going to be talking about the Leafs and the Leafs only. So if you're not a Leafs fan,
good.
That sucks for you. If you're a Leafs fan, again,
sorry.
If you're a Leafs fan like we are, this is the episode for you. I swear, the last time we talked this extensively about this stupid ass team was like our first or second episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, this right, is now number that. 17, episode ride number 17, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
And so we waited a while. A couple reasons. Yeah. First of all, the Leafs have been fine. Like,
yeah,
they had a couple hiccups here and there. And I think at the beginning of the season, they had a few tough losses back to back. I think like they had something 7-1 loss to Pittsburgh, I remember. And then like that was amidst a 4-game losing streak. I wrote it down over here. Since then, they've gone 21-6-1 since that 4-game losing streak where they lost 7-1 to the Pens.
Shit, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It ended last night with a 2-1 loss to Arizona.
Whatever, man. I'm okay with that. Whatever.
I don't know the correct pronunciation of the Arizona goalie, but he made like 45 saves.
Yeah.
Only had like 15 shots or something, 18 shots.
Mm-hmm.
But Leafs got goalied. We've seen this happen before. Peter Mrazek had the loss. But I really don't care. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Matthews set a record last night for most consecutive road games with a goal in Leaf history.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many it was, Simon?
9.
Correct. 9 road games in a row for our boy. Our mustache-less.
Happy. Player.
Quick question. Do you like
him? All-star really? Captain. All-star yes. Captain Austin Matthews. That that's was also cool. Announced today, so that's kind of fun. Yes.
Yeah, we'll save the all-star talk for a little bit later.
Yep.
If we have time. Mm-hmm. But do you like Austin Matthews with or without his stash?
I prefer without, but I just prefer whichever helps him score more. So
honestly, yeah.
I don't know.
whichever he's comfortable with.
Exactly. How about you? What's your preference?
I really don't care. Same.
I
like without the mustache. I think it looks better without it, but that's just my opinion.
I agree.
Whichever Poppy likes.
Yep.
During that run where the Leafs went 21-6-1, Jack Campbell has catapulted himself to top of the league in terms of save percentage. Right now he's 935, which is ridiculous. And this is, I'm only looking at goalies that have played a minimum of 22 games. And so Soupy is number one in the league, save percentage. Behind Soupy are, can you guess the two goalies behind Soup for save percentage?
Oh, shit. Freddie Anderson.
Yep.
And Georgiev.
No.
Vasilevsky.
No. I think Georgiev played fewer games than Shesterkin.
Oh, sorry, Shesterkin. Is it Shesterkin?
It's not him either, though.
Oh, that's disappointing.
It's Tristan Jarry, Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's good. Interesting. Okay, good for him.
Which is interesting because I'll talk about Soup in a sec, but the Pittsburgh Penguins over the last few seasons have been kind of not that good, but that's also because their goalie tandem, whatever duo that they've had in place. I think they had Matt Murray for a couple seasons even after he won the cup, and he was not good.
And it was Flower and Flower and Matt Murray, and then the expansion draft happened. It was Matt Murray and I think Tristan Jarry.
Yeah.
And they traded Matt Murray, and that was Tristan Jarry and Casey DeSmith.
Yes.
I'm not sure what it is right now, but it's Tristan Jarry and someone. But yeah, I'm looking at it right now, like after you mentioned that. Yeah, Tristan Jarry has been unreal. Holy cow.
Yep. He's carried the Pens. The Pens are actually a lot better than people thought they would be this season, mainly because of goaltending. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be this surprised. Goalie position is the most important on any team, and there's a reason why the Leafs have been doing so well. It's because Jack Campbell has been absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Honestly, those three goalies are interchangeable between 1 through 3 in the league. Jack is third in the league in goals against average, 2.02, which is behind only two. Mm-hmm. Again, Jarry, which is 1.91, and Freddie, 1.97. Jack is also third in the league with 18 wins behind Vasilevsky and UC Saros. But again, those two teams, Lightning and the Preds, have played more games than the Leafs. So
I don't like wins as a goalie stat.
I don't either.
That's a team sport. Anyways, but I just
know it's one thing that's considered, one category that's considered when the Vezina is awarded at the end of the season, how many wins you have. If I were to award that trophy right now, you already know who I'd give it to. I'd give it to Soupy. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. Love him so much.
I love how we pick the episode after we find that we have a highly American audience just to go all out on the Leafs.
hey, Jack Campbell's an American. American All-Star.
I know, but still, he plays for the team that literally everyone hates, though.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, I love our boy. And I think we feel the same way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just dreading this contract because I just get worried it's going to be Freddie Anderson 2.0. I'm pretty confident they'll be able to sign him. But again, I just have no idea what's going to happen with this.
I'm just nervous at the Mrazek contract, to be honest. Because it's like, what is it again? I forgot. It's three for another 3 years, no? Something like that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's 3.5 for like three or something like that. Yeah. My thing is, I think they'll be able to move him. There are teams in the league that need goaltending, and that's a very manageable number. It's not like he's making $5.5 to $6 million.
Yep.
Like I think if you look at a team like Edmonton, who's relatively cap strapped and needs some sort of goalie or was likely gonna need some goaltending after the season, I think Peter Mrazek's a really nice fit. And even if the Leafs like just basically give him away for like a late round draft pick, I'm okay with that. If that basically means you're able to open up almost $4 million in cap space and retain Jack Campbell. Like I get where you're coming from. And I think after the groin injury at the beginning of the season, I was worried about that as well.
Yeah.
But I don't really have any concern about the Leafs being able to move Peter Mrazek.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I just really hope if it comes down to Mrazek or Campbell, I hope the Leafs know the obvious answer there in the offseason.
I think they do. They see what we see. There's no chance. I would think there'd be almost no chance that if you were to ask them, like, if you would rather have Campbell or Mrazek, I feel comfortable 10 out of 10 times they would say Jack Campbell.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
You being confident in the Leafs management makes me more confident. Now I'm going to talk about some of the other players on the Leafs team. I have some stats over here that I wrote down. I'm going to just list them out for you. And I'm going to talk about this leading up to our possible discussion on the improvements that the Leafs need going into the All-Star break, as well as the deadline coming up, as well as the playoffs. So I'm going to list the stats first. Okay, Austin Matthews right now, 11th in the league in points, 38 points in 32 games. Only 32 games he's played. Yeah, he has 38 points.
That's wild. Oh my God.
You know what's even wilder? So I haven't, context here for anyone listening. Simon and I haven't paid too much attention to the Leafs over the last 2-3 weeks. Because the world is crazy.
Yeah, the world's exploding.
So, literally, yeah. When I saw these stats, I was a little surprised myself. I was like, holy shit. Austin's 11th in the league in points. Okay. Nylander is 17th with 36 and 35. He's having a career year.
He's been so good.
Yep.
Like, he's actually been unreal. Oh, yep. My God.
And that $6.9 million contract right now. Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Like, so good.
People were okay. This might catch a lot of heat. I don't really think it's that much of a hot take. People were comparing, why can't William Nylander play like David Pastrnak? I think he's played better than Pastrnak this year. To be completely honest with you, like, and I really hope this is a sign of what's to come, because it would be so nice for him to just completely shatter what people were expecting when he signed that contract. He's already done it. He's already made that contract an absolute sweetheart. And I think he still has another 3 years left on that deal. I guess two more after this year. So like, holy cow, man, that's been such a nice contract. Oh my God.
Yep. I think, well, Pastrnak is a completely different kind of player as well. He's like
agreed.
Pure goal scorer. Nylander is a little sniper, more slick with everything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 100%. I think this season, Nylander has definitely proven himself. And in my opinion, also better than Pastrnak this season so far.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Okay. John Tavares, 30th in the league in scoring with 34 points in 34 games. Point per game now.
Yeah. He's so underrated. He gets so much flack, but he's such a good player. Oh my God.
Yep. And couldn't be happier that he's our captain. Although, also, Morgan Riley, if I had to go back in time, I still don't know like who I choose between Tavares or Riley. It would have been one of those two.
Yeah.
I'm so happy they chose Tavares, but like if you were to ask me to make that decision again, I still don't know.
The fact that we can have this conversation, I think, is a really good thing about the team. Because again, I think this is one thing that a lot of people talk about really good winning teams, that you can never really have enough good leaders on your team. And again, I think in the past that's something that this team's really lacked, especially vocally. So it feels kind of nice that we're going to have a conversation that, like, it feels like the Leafs have a lot of really, it feels like they have a really solid foundation now of leaders and people who actually know what it takes to win. I hate saying that because it's such an overused cliche.
Yeah.
But, like, I just really like some of the pieces they have on this team in terms of just the leadership perspective.
Yeah, who cares if it's a cliche, if it's true, you know?
Yeah.
Since signing his contract, Morgan Riley has been on a tear as well. 16 games in the last 16 points in the last 14 games. That's the stat.
Jeez.
So he's been on a tear. The Leafs' entire power play has looked amazing. Finally, for the first time in like four seasons with this core. It is currently third best in the league, although it's kind of just tied for first because it's behind only the Blues. They have 30.1% and Edmonton at 30.2%. The Leafs are at 29.6%. So it's right there.
Edmonton's been on a real cold spell for that, for the real dry spell for that power play. I'm sure we'll get to it at some point, but Edmonton, man. Oh my God.
yeah. But power play wise, it's currently those three teams. Behind the Leafs is Nashville at 27%. Those bums.
Those bums are leading the Central Division.
Yeah, I know, right? Leafs PK also amazing. Eighth in the league, 82.8%.
Yep.
So it's good. It's good for what the Leafs defense is currently made of. And honestly, this is, in my opinion, the best iteration of this defense that we've seen in this era of the Leafs yet.
Probably. I can get on board with that. Yep.
Something that's super underrated about this Leafs team, though, and I've noticed this since the beginning of the season, and now I'm glad that the stats finally match up with the eye test. The Leafs are an amazing face-off team this season.
Agreed.
And it's not talked about enough. Currently 55.4% face-off win percentage. And I have an article over here that talks about... So John Tavares, do you know what his face-off win percentage is?
61%? Holy shit, that's crazy.
And Austin Matthews is like right there as well.
55. Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, so yeah.
David Kant and Jason
Spezza, so I can see them, yeah.
Are also above 50. And there's not many teams in the league that can vouch for four centers all above a 50% face-off win percentage.
That's disgusting. That's actually disgusting. Oh my God. Yeah, I think so. Just to put it in perspective, I think typically, like, I think the best centermen in the league are around like 60%, give or take. Bergeron. I think Bergeron's around 60%. I think Jonathan Toews used to be someone who's like that. Basically, a lot of the Selke nominees are typically up there, and it's typically around like 55 to 60%. So the fact the Leafs have like one, two, three, four guys who are not just only only over 50%, they have like two that are over. Three that are 55 or above.
Yep.
And then Jason Spezza is at 52%. He's your fourth line center. Sometimes third line center. Depends how you view the lines. But like your third line slash fourth line center is like 50-52%. That's crazy. That's nuts.
Yep. Usually every team has like one dedicated faceoff guy. The Leafs can choose between any of these four and be confident in the draw. Like that's how good they've been in this season so far. Best in the league. And I just want to talk about that more. I'm glad I'm bringing it up right now, but I'm going to bring it up again in future episodes. The Leafs faceoff percentage.
I think that's actually a pretty big reason why the Leafs have been so successful in the penalty kill. Because again, in years past, like you think about what the Leafs penalty kill was missing, is I think they didn't have like an actual dedicated like defensive zone center. Now they have David Kampf. Before they were basically, I think they were trotting out Zach Hyman and like at times Kasperi Kapanen, Alexander Kerfoot. Kerfoot can play center. He has like but with the Leafs, he's basically been playing the wing the last like year and a half, 2 years. Like in this year especially, his faceoff percentage is 39.7%, and Zach Hyman, I think he was pretty good at faceoff for being a winger who never plays center, but like especially on a power play, possession is such a massive thing that if you're not winning the faceoff, you're basically, it's almost like just giving the puck away to the other team letting them cycle the puck over and over and over. So again, like I think that's why David Kampf has been such a massive addition to this team that no one's really talked about. Yep. And I think like the faceoffs especially are such a massive part of it and a huge reason why the penalty kill is doing a lot better than they have in the past.
I think of the three major offseason additions that Dubas made, so Kampf, Bunting, and Richie, and Kasha, four.
Mm-hmm.
Three of them have been really, really good. They've worked out exceptionally well. Richie, we can talk about, but whatever. Yeah. Like you can't hit a home run with every single free agent you sign. But those three have been super, super good.
Dynamite. They've been dynamite. Yep.
I'll get into more about that in a second. I just wanted to say, in this article I have over here, I see Bergeron's face-off wins percentage over the last 10 seasons. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, every season he's since 09-10, except for one season, he's been top 10, top 9 in the league. Yeah. And
I think,
do you know what his is this season?
It's going to be something ridiculous, like 64% or something like that.
Literally that. 63.8%.
That's crazy. He's ridiculous. Another guy who's like, that's Ryan O'Reilly's nuts. He's like that as well. He is crazy. Ryan O'Reilly and Patrice Bergeron are face off just like they're behemoths. They're ridiculous.
Yeah. It's an art. Like, if you know how to win your face offs cleanly and that frequently, then like you're a master of something that very few players actually do.
Well, like, I just think you can spend a lot of time on, like, face-offs are one of those things where if you can, you can spend a lot of time on and get better at it. It's not necessarily like size or something where it can't really be taught. I think especially just with like
technique
nowadays. Yeah. Nowadays there's so few players that play like actual center that like it's kind of difficult to have like multiple players who have like that high like face-off percentage, because like realistically, how often are wingers going to be taking face-offs? Like, I mean, they take them every now and then when the centers get thrown out, but I don't really think it's something that wingers go like, oh, I need to like make sure I'm like an absolute just like fiend on face-offs or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm off base. I don't know, but I don't think you're off base.
I'm going to quickly rotate back to the other Leaf stats. So Marner, obviously he's been out. He just came back recently. But other than that, the Leafs have been slowly trending toward finally being completely healthy. And I have not seen this, like, we've seen this a couple times over the last two seasons, but for the most part, there's always been at least like two or three players that are just always out for the Leafs. And even when they have the full team in, you just know someone's banged up. Yeah. Now, it finally looks like, I think this Saturday, the entire team will be back, with the exception of Ian Scott, but that's okay. Mikheyev's, since he's returned, he's been really good. Like that shocked me too. I was like, I don't know what role Mikheyev's gonna play over here. The team's been fine. He comes in and he's in five games this year, he has 5 points, 4 goals, 1 assist, playing on the third line.
I have some thoughts on Ilya Mikheyev, but I'll save it for later on.
I'm interested.
You're right, like it's, and that's, I think that's another thing that's been kind of incredible about this Leafs start. They didn't have Austin Matthews the first couple games of the season. Mitch Marner's been in and out of the lineup. And like a lot of, like the Leafs have, like Andre Kasha, one of their better players, has been in and out of the lineup. Like it's just been so, Jason Spezza got suspended. Like it's just been.
Sandin's been out, now he's back.
Yeah. Now, people don't talk about this a lot, but I think the Leafs are probably one of the biggest beneficiaries of that. Like 2 week pause right before like or during Christmas, because it allowed everyone to get like basically like healthy. Mitch Marner came back after, I think he was hurt for a while.
Yep,
I can't remember those. Mitch Marner was hurt. Oh no, it was the Jake Muzzin. Like he clearly Jake Muzzin, right? So that allowed him to come back. Sandin obviously was able to rehab and come back. So I mean, like you said, they're finally. I think they were saying that. Mitch Marner and Pierre Engvall are going to fly out with the team once they clear COVID protocol. I think it's supposed to be today. It might be tomorrow.
It's for Saturday's game.
Okay, yeah. So it sounds like they'll be back, which is good for a game against St. Louis. That should be a really good game. But like, you're right. And that's, I think it's just one of the things that has made the start so impressive, considering how many pieces have been coming in and out of the lineup so frequently.
Yep. I'm excited, finally. The team, we now know what the product looks like. With everyone healthy, the team has been fine, doing just fine without everyone being healthy. But now we can finally take a look at, okay, full, proper, healthy, almost 100% assessment starts now. So we'll see what happens.
Yep.
A couple more stats I want to throw out right now. So Matthews, I already told you how many points he's had, but last 15 games, he's had 23 points on the first line, which is Matthews, Kasha, and Bunting. Bunting has had points in 3 straight. He's been kind of on a cold spell, but that's okay because Kasha has had 11 points in 11 games.
What a steal by Kyle Dubas.
100%. The second line, Kerfoot, Tavares, Nylander has also been just dynamite. Last 15 games, you got 20 points for Willie. Tavares, you've got 17 points in the last 12 games. And Kerfoot has actually had a career season so far.
Yep.
25 points in 35 games so far, including 9 in the last 5 games.
Monster.
Yeah.
Kerfoot, man. Yep.
So that's the good stuff. That's the good stuff about the Leafs. And I can talk ages and ages about why I love this iteration of the Leaf squad so much. However, there's always something you can improve. And we had the same discussion a couple months ago, and we're going to have it again. We all know what there can be to improve.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say the specific player, but I think we even know what the specific player is that we'd like to see improved.
okay, yeah. Yeah, Justin Hall's gotta go, man. He's gotta go. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm gonna try to kind of put my I'm gonna go on my Sheldon Keefe rant here because I've this has been in my back pocket for weeks now because this is a trend that I've been noticing throughout the season and it's driving me crazy. Okay, so granted, this is not the best time to be having this, right? The fact that I'm having this argument now, after the game where they lost to the Coyotes, isn't necessarily going to back my argument up all that well, but just in principle, I think this is a conversation that needs to be had. So last night and just throughout multiple, so this is towards Sheldon Keefe, by the way, for those of you who don't, who are new listeners and everything, but. The reason I'm having this rant is because I need to have a talk about Sheldon Keefe decision making because it's very quickly driving me absolutely bananas. So, and the reason I have a problem with the fact that Justin Hall is playing as many games as he is. It's just that's a problem to me. And the reason I say this is because when you have Sandin, Liljegren, and Dermott healthy, at least to this point in the season, they've all played better than Justin Hall. And I don't think it's that close. Now, granted, Justin Hall is making $2 million. I'm sure they're trying to rebuild his confidence, which is fine. But at the same time, his pairing with Muzzin has been just atrocious this year. They were the Leafs lockdown pair last year. And I think up to this point, they're among the worst in the league for qualifiers and plus minus. That's not good enough, man. And you look at some of the decisions. Sorry, go ahead.
Something happened between last season and this season that has just tanked that pair. I don't know what it is, but every time I see them play now, I'm like, you guys are like a ghost of what you were last season. And I don't know what it is. Yeah. The Muzzin Hall pairing.
And the problem I have with Justin Hall is his decision making. Like just to give an example here, I think in the Golden Knights game, I think they're on the penalty kill, and both Muzzin and Hall went behind the net to go cover the same guy, and it basically left Kolasar out in front of it, and I think he scored a power play goal. That can't happen, man. I'm sorry. Like, now I understand there's a lot of players who have bad games, but man, Justin Hall, I'm sorry, either move him down to the third pair away from Muzzin or just take him out of the lineup because at this point you have players that are playing well and you're basically punishing them for playing well and because you want them because you're trying to build up Justin Hall's confidence, and I have a problem with that. And it's the same thing with Pierre Engvall. I don't know how Pierre Engvall is getting into this many games, man. I don't. I know he's a very friendly cap number at 1.25. But at the same time, his decision making, Justin Hall is just atrocious. He's not a productive hockey player for this team. The Leafs can be having a really productive shift, cycling the puck in the zone. And the minute the puck touches Pierre Engvall's stick, the play dies. He'll flip the puck away. He'll turn the puck over, Don't get me wrong. He does some things very well. He skates with the puck very well. He skates well. He's very fast for his height, but he doesn't use his height well. He doesn't use it to actually win battles in the corners. He turns the puck over a lot, and this might just be me potentially just coming up with stuff. Because again, like Pierre Engvall is just a player I've been very frustrated with for like a while now. But it feels like he takes a lot of penalties for someone who's not like, who for someone who is not playing that much. And that's the other problem I have with Nick Ritchie. But like, man, I think these are very small, very minor problems to have. Because again, the Leafs are playing very, very well. But I think, again, specifically with Justin Hall, I think this has really shown the Leafs what they, I think the positives, I think this has really shown them what they need to address at the trade deadline, given kind of the options that they currently have. So Sheldon Keefe, I need you to get Justin Hall and Pierre Engvall on the lineup less, please, especially if you're going to rotate Travis Dermott, Rasmus Sandin, and Timothy Liljegren, like between those three.
So Pierre Engvall, I don't have as much of a problem with as I do with the Justin Hall being in the lineup.
That's fair. I will give you that.
Mm-hmm. I think the Leafs have more options on offense than they do on defense right now, and that's the problem that I want to address. Because even till now, yeah, you got Brody. Yeah, you got Muzzin. And Riley's playing phenomenal too. But if one of those three go down, if one of Riley, Brody, or Muzzin go down, the Leafs are screwed. Like, going to the playoffs, if, let's say, first round, one of those go down again, like Muzzin went down last season against Montreal, who are you going to replace? Like, who's going to step up in this spot?
And you could even argue this year, like, it's just Riley and Brody if one of those two go down.
Yeah.
Not even Muzzin. So, like, you're basically, I 100% agree with that. 100%.
Muzzin, I'll give the benefit of the doubt to that he'll pick up again because he's really experienced. And I don't know.
100%.
Something about his beard.
I don't know. Again, I don't really have any concerns with Muzzin. I really don't. You kind of know what you're going to get with him. Has he had some like brain cramps or bad plays? Sure. But also, like, let's keep in mind, he's also like, he's 32, man. He's 32. He's getting to the point where like he's not in his prime anymore. He's a good defenseman, don't get me wrong, but like, just with Justin Hall, man, like, I know he's not making that much money, so maybe we shouldn't be expecting that much out of him, but when you're playing like top 4 minutes, man, like, you gotta do something. Like,
yeah, and I'm not gonna sugarcoat it, I don't like the fact that your biggest problem right now is your second pairing right defenseman is a problem, and it should not be understated. I don't care how good the Leafs are doing right now. I've seen this happen way too many times where some problem that we know in the regular season is just exacerbated and teams take advantage of it in the postseason. And I see it right now, and I want it to be addressed, which is why I'm going to bring up a recent rumor, which is funny because we just talked about this last episode.
John Klingberg, isn't it? Okay. Yep.
So there is a rumor recently that this is from Sportsnet's Luke Fox. He suggested that when he was talking about the Leafs being in the running for Evander Kane, I really hope that doesn't happen. He noted that John Klingberg could be a good fit, and that if they can find the cap space, Kyle Dubas would be willing to get creative and spend big ahead of the trade deadline. Right now, Klingberg's cap hit is $4.25 million. And I'd say he has better offensive and defensive instincts than Justin Hall, even though he'll be a free agent by the end of the season.
That's an understatement, man.
That is kind of an understatement. Yeah. But even though he'll be a free agent by the end of the season, I would do that. If there's a way to get John Klingberg in, I would do that.
100%. Okay. Yeah. So I think Klingberg would be a very nice option as well. Is he a righty? I think he's a righty. I think he's a right-handed shot. So yeah. So again, that's extremely attractive at 4.25. Cause again, let's just say, like, for argument's sake, oh man. Okay. So like you mentioned, pending UFA at the end of the year, $4.25 million. That's a very reasonable number for someone who's a very productive offensive defenseman Klingberg. What's his first name?
John
Klingberg. I fucking knew that. Okay, but I think that would be such a nice pairing with Jake Muzzin, because you're basically taking so much pressure off of him to produce offensively, and you can kind of allow him to kind of step back, kind of be the stay home defenseman that he was supposed to be, that he was last year, and basically kind of, because I think part of the thing right now is like because it feels like before Morgan Rielly signed his extension and went on that tear, the Leafs weren't really getting a whole lot of production out of their blue line. But now, if you can get John Klingberg and you can move him in, onto the second pair and then have Muzzin and Klingberg, if you have a top four of Muzzin, Rielly, Brody, and Klingberg, that's significantly better than having Justin Hall in your top four. And again, I'm not sure. No, if they were to do it, they would probably have to send Justin Hall the other way just to make the salary work, unless they send someone like an Alex Kerfoot. I don't see that happening just because, like you said, he's had a career year and they need to dress someone. But like, yeah, I think Klingberg would be a really nice fit. I just think there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be after him, and they're basically going to, I think it's going to turn into a bidding war. That's my only concern.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Which is why there's one more name the Leafs have been recently linked to, I think for a couple seasons now. And I've also had my eye on this player because in fantasy, he is very, very underrated.
Roman Josi.
Yes.
Damn it. Yes.
No, he's okay. I'm going to let you guess. New Jersey Devils defenseman.
Oh, Severson.
Yes. Underrated. Underrated dude.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with that at all. I actually really like Damon Severson.
Yep.
I have no problem with him at all. Now, granted, if you were to ask me who I'd rather have between Severson and Klingberg, I would say Klingberg. Yeah, 100%. But that being said, if it gets to a point where they feel like they can't pay as much as the Stars want for Klingberg, Severson would be a very, very, very nice consolation prize. He's a 27-year-old right-hand shooting defenseman. That's real nice, man. Oh my god.
Severson or Klingberg?
Severson. Severson's 27. Yeah.
Dope. I mean,
he has term 2 years at 4.1. Sorry, after this year, he has one more year at 4.166. $4,100,000. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a very nice number. Again, the Devils aren't going anywhere. And if you could probably send them Justin Hall just to have an NHL ready defenseman on that roster.
Yeah.
Along with other goodies. I'm not suggesting they do a Severson for Justin Hall swap, because there's no way that would happen anyways. But if New Jersey wants to move Severson and the Leafs are interested, I would be very much okay with that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Leafs cap friendly right now, and the only concern that I have is if they get into a bidding war again this season. They got into one last season with Nick Foligno.
Probably will.
We all know what happened with that trade.
I still don't have a huge problem with that trade, but that's okay.
I don't either. Obviously, mm-hmm. In hindsight, now I do. But when it was made, I don't have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
The Leafs only have 3 draft picks this year, same as they did last year. First round, they have actually a pick this year. They did not last year. They have a first round pick, a second round pick, and then a seventh round pick, which is conditional this season. So if they make any trades, it's going to be from probably next year's draft capital, or what I'm guessing is finally one of their prospects. They did not touch any of their prospects last season when they traded for Foligno, which I think in hindsight, oh my God, thank God that didn't happen. Yeah. Like imagine, losing draft picks is one thing, but imagine losing like a top end prospect, like, I don't know, Amirov in the Foligno trade. Mm. Oh my God.
I think it really just depends on who they, it obviously depends on who they get, but I think it also, if we're talking about a Klingberg or a Severson or anyone like that, I think it's also going to just depend on whether or not they're going to be able to negotiate extension before, because I would have a really hard time believing that they would trade someone like the two Finnish defensemen that were playing in the World Juniors. Again, Hirvonen and I'm not saying I would think they would trade them. I'm saying if they were to, I think those are going to be the guys that the teams are going to be calling about. If they want those guys, I suspect, especially for a Klingberg, it would be only if they can actually negotiate an extension before. But I do think you're right in a sense. I think there's a very good chance that this is the final of the year we see some prospects get moved, especially on the back end, because again, like we're talking about the Leafs having potential problems with their back, like before their defense, some of their defensemen this year, but they also have a lot of prospects on the back end. They have Sandin, they got Liljegren, they have this two finished Hirvonen and fuck, I can't remember. Anyways, like there's anyone who has watched the World Junior knows who I'm talking about. They have Philip Kral, who looked really good in the preseason.
Oh, yeah.
They got
Kral is like the giant
Mac Hollowell. Yeah, yeah. Christian's Rubens. Like they have so many nice defense prospects right now, or nice start. They have a lot of prospects who look like they're developing really well. So again, I just think with the logjam, if there's going to be a logjam, it makes more sense to do that than take away from the draft capital, which is already very, very limited.
Yep. So I guess we'll see what happens. If I had to make a bold prediction of any kind, I'd say the Leafs end up getting Severson. Just a shot in the dark. I don't know. We'll see what happens. There's usually a player out there that we don't know that Kyle Dubas is currently always having his eye on. Watch it be someone from the Sioux again. He always loves his players from the Sioux.
He does. Just to correct myself. So Topi Niemelä was the right-handed defenseman I was talking about. And then Hirvonen, I think, was the guy I mentioned before. He is a center, so I messed that up real good. But yeah, like they have a stacked prospect pool right now, man. Still got Nick Robertson, Topi Niemelä, Rodion Amirov, who looks really good in Russia. Matthew Nyes from the University of Minnesota has been lighting it up in the NCAA this year. And then Alex Steves has been really good as well with the Marley. So, man, look out there, because it's just nice to feel like the Leafs not only have some really good like all-star talent, but also have like a really solid prospect pool. And like for all my baseball fans out there, it really feels like the Leafs are starting to turn into like the Cleveland Guardians, I guess, or before them, the Cleveland Indians, because they were the same type of thing.
True. Speaking of all-stars, I think that's what I'm going to quickly rotate to next.
Yeah.
Before that, though, I'm just going to say one last thing about the Leafs. So while we are giving rave reviews right now on how the team is doing and these additions that we want the team to make, over the last, I'd say, like couple games, there have been some concerning issues with the team. Sheldon Keefe said after the loss against Arizona, we didn't execute and find ways to make it harder on their goaltender once he got into a groove. So Sheldon Keefe gave the day off today, Thursday, and he mentioned that the team just looks kind of tired right now, which is fine considering the 2-week break that the team had. It will take some time to get into a groove again.
Yeah, 2-week break, and they went to Colorado. They played and had to go to Vegas, and they played overnight in Arizona, and they dominated last night. They were just absolutely just firing on all cylinders. The Vegas game, they just looked brutal. And then the Avs game, the against the Avs, they were the better team up until like the third period. The third period, they just caved.
I think the third game of yesterday
as well. Yeah. I'm not concerned really. It definitely is concerning, but I am not concerned. If that makes sense.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's just a small thing. They'll get over it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They also don't have Mitch Marner, which is significant.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I think we're getting right now into the season. We're getting into the part where it's what do I call it? It's like, you know, like the dog days of summer. It's like July, August, where it's like really hot and you have nothing to do and it's boring, it's like repetitive.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that part of the season now. January, February is when you have a lot of games going on, but it's like, we got half the season left.
Well, yeah, and you also have people who are like analyzing, okay, like we're like X amount of weeks from the trade deadline. What do we need? Like, how are we looking? Like, who do we want to extend? Who do we want to move? Who do we want to keep? Like, stuff like that. So, I mean.
Yeah. So
it's
in a few weeks, this is going to get really repetitive. And we just started our discussions on the Leafs possible trade deadline acquisitions. We're going to get bored of this really quickly. At the same time, though, I don't know if the NHL is going to rearrange any of the dates, the key dates that they had.
I don't think so. I think they're just going to power through it. I can't see them moving anything.
Okay. Yeah, then they're probably going to treat the Olympic quote-unquote break as like a catch-up for any of the COVID.
I think so. 100%. I think so as well.
Which is good. Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
All-star rosters. I'm going to spend like 5 minutes on this and then let's wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they were released tonight.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't really care. It's just all-star. Yeah. It doesn't really matter.
The all-star, like again, just with the current state of the world, it feels like all the other, like all the things that like that are supposed to be special kind of aren't. I saw the all-star rosters got announced. I saw Matthews, the captain. I saw Jed Campbell's the starting goalie for the Atlantic. I was like, okay, cool. Yeah.
You know, I've never ever been so excited for the all-star like break or the game or anything that the league has done, except for the one season where John Scott made it to the game.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm with that as well. I'm on that as well. My thing is like, I've also never really been into it. Like, I mean, I was lucky enough to go to the one in 2012 in Ottawa. That was obviously really exciting. I actually currently have my, actually have a Joffrey Lupo jersey from that game, which is kind of cool.
Oh wow!
Like it's actually it's an All-Star game jersey. It's not like a Leaf jersey. It's an All-Star game jersey.
You showed me that one.
I did. I'm working to get it framed. So, when I was younger, the skills competition used to always be kind of be interesting because as someone who used to play this sport, I was like, oh, I think that looks kind of cool. I want to try that. And like, oh, he shot he did so well in the accuracy and everything. And like the elimination shootout was always interesting just because I think whenever there's I think when you're younger, the shootout's just really interesting because some players do some really cool things like Spinorama, really nasty toe drag and stuff like that. But like now that I'm older and like I don't really play as much and like I just don't really see the big deal. I get why it's an accomplishment for the players, but as a fan, I can't really get excited for it.
Yeah, it's just another break. I think it's really good for the city that it's happening in. I think anyone who gets to go to a game, I'd love to go to an all-star game, but watching it, I don't really care.
Yeah. Like, and I feel the way about like all the sports, like the NFL Pro Bowl is probably one of the biggest jokes in professional sports. The NBA All-Star game, the All-Star game itself, the last couple NBA All-Star games have been really good because like they actually implemented new rules, got encouraged players to actually try. So like those have been really good. And the MLB All-Star games were really good when like there's actually something on the line. So for those of you who don't know, I'm sure a lot of you do based on our age demographic that we looked at earlier. But the way the MLB All-Star game used to work is whoever won the All-Star game actually got to host the World Series, like got the home field advantage for the World Series, which at the time was kind of ridiculous. Given that like you could have like a team that was like 100 wins and like a team facing like that was like 80 or 90 wins, and because the league that the lower winning team that they won the All-Star game, they would get the home field advantage, which is ridiculous. But I thought it like the fact they're playing for something was pretty good. But I don't know, like I just think with All-Star Game, there's such a fine line. It's so difficult to get people to attend because basically they're not really competing for anything other than like, oh, my team won. Like, it's basically watching House League hockey, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Like, look, the way that the NBA does their All-Star Game and that entire break is just, it's the gold standard, in my opinion. That's the only entertaining kind of professional sports All-Star break. Like the second you have celebrities involved in anything, that's entertaining. I love that shit.
Yeah.
And NHL, nowhere close.
Like I still really enjoy watching the MLB All-Star, like sure, the MLB Home Run Derby. That's always really interesting to me. Yeah. The dunk contest is obviously really good. But the NHL doesn't really have like a thing where it's like, oh my god. Like it used to be like I think for some people it used to kind of be hard a shot.
Yes.
With Weber and Chara. Say that.
Yeah.
Where it's like I want to see how hard these guys can shoot. But now that Weber and Chara are gone, it's kind of like it also just feels like hard shots aren't really a thing anymore. Because you have like defense when like Kale McCarr, who are basically like lacing through everyone, just whipping wristers through everyone, like just right underneath the bar. So I mean, I don't know, man. I think the All-Star game is just supposed to be fun, so maybe we're just looking a little too far into it and just trying to analyze a little bit too much, but I don't know. I'm still just not a huge fan.
It needs to be more fun. They need to do something creative. Like,
okay, one thing on the NHL All-Star game, though, They need to stop this stupid rule where they have one player from every team. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yes.
I'm sorry. The fact that Nick Suzuki is going to start. I hate that the first person I think it was Nick Suzuki, because he's the first name I saw. I was like, you're joking. The fact that Nick Suzuki, or I think it's Thomas Chabot, is going to get in over Morgan Riley or John Tavares or William Nylander is ridiculous.
Or
Mitch Marner. And there's more players who are like that. There's obviously more players that are like that. I only mentioned those three because those are just as a Leafs fan, those are the first three names that come to mind. But like, man, like that can't happen. I am like, oh my God, like it's ridiculous.
I know. Look, we can talk for ages about the snubs that the All-Star games, the rosters always have, but I honestly don't care about it that much. Like
Nazem Kadri did not make the All-Star team. I just saw that. That is ridiculous.
Didn't he?
He's a last man in vote. He's last man in.
He deserves to be in.
That's ridiculous. He's like fifth in the league in NHL scoring.
Fourth.
That is ridiculous. Four. Okay. Yeah. Fourth. That. Oh my God.
Like, you want to know how many points he has?
Oh man.
Let me tell you how many points he has.
How many does the leader have? Because I don't like I
53. And it's you can
48.
Guess
48.
Wait, how many? What'd you guess?
48.
Wow. You're right. Yeah. Holy shit.
Mm.
Nazem Kadri, 48 points.
I know I think McDavid's leader, isn't he? It's either Draisaitl or McDavid. One of those two are ridiculous.
Tied for 53.
I know it's like McDavid, Draisaitl, Ovechkin, Kadri, I think. Reading earlier. Yeah. Yeah, like, okay. Like, I'm looking at the roster right now, and no disrespect to these players whatsoever. Okay. Drake Batherson. No. As much as I like Dylan Larkin as a player, no. Sorry. Suzuki, Dahlin. Like, I'm sorry, man. Like, there's Brad Marchand, Alexander Barkov. Where are these guys?
I feel the same way. Don't worry about it.
It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous, man.
Oh, Pasternak didn't even make it?
No, because Bergeron made it.
Okay, that's weird.
You're basically saying we're going to have one guy on the team. Like,
okay, it's okay.
I hate this. I hate it. Like, oh, look at that. Like one of the only two people who made it were both McDavid and Draisaitl. You're joking. I am sorry. You're joking. That is ridiculous. You're telling me Alex DeBrincat or Clayton Keller deserves to be there over Nazem Kadri? Give your head a shake, man. That's ridiculous.
Okay, I know.
Yeah.
This happens every season, though.
And I know this is ridiculous considering, I guess, when the last one he was saying, I don't care about the All-Star game. But this is part of the reason why the players who that deserve to be there aren't even there. This is ridiculous. Adrian Kempe, are you joking? No, granted, I think he's actually been pretty good. But like, George, okay, I'll stop. Oh my God.
Wait, hold on. Darnell Nurse? Oh no, sorry. I'm reading the last man only ballot. Okay, man. Okay, look, we can talk about hours.
The last thing I'll say about this, if you want to put Drake Batherson, Dylan Larkin, Nick Suzuki, Rasmus Dahlin, I'm just gonna read all the players I don't think should be on here. Clayton Keller, Alex DeBrincat, Kempe maybe, Draisaitl. So not Draisaitl. Wow, not Draisaitl. Sorry, Jordan Eberle, like maybe Timo Meier. Put the good players on, and put the players that you want to put on the roster for the sake of having every man on the one person on every team on the roster on the last man vote. Because the fact that it's the other way around seems completely ridiculous to me. I'm sorry, and I'll leave it at that, or I'll try to. This is something I've had a problem with for such a long time, and I just can't stand the fact that basically Drake Batherson's going to be an All-Star, and there's going to one of Brad Marchand, David Pasternak, Alex Barkov, John Tavares, aren't going to be able to get on the roster because they won't, like, because they, the NHL felt like, need to have a representative from every team.
I know. I'm in the same boat as you. I can rant about this for hours if I want to. I'm just not prepared right now.
I hate this. I hate it so much. I hate it so much. Oh, my God.
Okay, okay. In the same vein, in that same vein, I'm going to ask you one Simon Says question. I wanted to get this off.
Okay.
Can you name all the Leafs that have been to the All-Star game over the last however many years? I want to see how far back you can go.
Okay, let's see. Okay. I can do this. I can do this. Okay.
Start with 2022.
Okay. Sorry. 2022. Okay. So, yeah. Oh man. Okay. This is going to be tough. We're going backwards. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Backwards. 2022. As of right now, we have Jack Campbell and Austin Matthews.
Yep.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah. So 2021, I don't think there was an All-Star game.
Nope.
2020, there was an All-Star game, I think.
Yep.
Could you remind me where it was?
The 2020 All-Star game was held in St. Louis.
So I know Austin Matthews was there, but he didn't participate because he had a wrist injury.
Correct.
I think Freddie Anderson was there.
Correct.
And, I want to say that was it. Maybe Morgan Riley, but I think that was it.
There was a last man in on the Leafs.
John Tavares.
Nope.
Yeah. Okay. Marner.
Yeah, Mitch
Marner. I'm okay. Yeah.
Hey. That's okay. Try 2019.
Matthews, I'm guessing. Like, yep. Matthews. Like, I'm not as good with All-Star as of right. Like, yeah, because again, yeah. I'm not going to make excuse for myself. Austin Matthews.
fuck. One more.
Morgan
one more.
Riley.
No.
Freddie Anderson.
No, John Tavares.
Right. Was that in San Jose?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that. He was the captain and he wore the fucking Patrick Marleau jersey at the skills competition. I remember that. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And then 2018 was just Austin Matthews. 2017 was just Austin Matthews.
The funny thing is, I can easily do like the ones from like the Phil Kessel era, but after that, I'm just completely like, gone.
I wanted to talk about 2016 for a brief second because that's also where
Leo Komarov, baby.
That's where my problem lies, in that every team has to have one.
Yep.
Like,
agreed.
Man, I love Leo Komarov, but no. No.
Hold that thought.
What?
I'm going to look up the snubs from 2016 NHL, the all snub team. Let's take a look who this is. Mike Camilleri. Okay. No. Leon Draisaitl.
He was snubbed?
Mike Hawk. Yeah. Well, it's 2016 though. It was 2016. Okay. So this is in the hockey news. Draisaitl snub, the Draisaitl snub is tough to explain. Any Pacific Division hopeful gets blocked by John Scott. But that hurts Scott's Arizona teammates more than anyone, as the Coyotes were guaranteed one rep. Draisaitl is a crucial reason the Edmontons remained on the playoff periphery in Connor McDavid's absence. Draisaitl's 1.03 points per game ranks sixth in the NHL, yet Corey Perry makes the roster over him, even with another dark crack in the Pacific roster. What gives? Yeah, so like in terms of the Atlantic Division, like Mike Hoffman, yeah, Leo Komarov's actually mentioned in this little blurb. Only six players have more goals than Mike Hoffman, who has followed up last year's late bloom breakout with an even greater performance. 14 of his 19 goals have come at even strength. Fellow Atlantic Division dweller Leo Komarov has been a revelation for the Leafs, but Hoffman has been flat out better, as has Ottawa teammate Bobby Ryan. Alas, blue liner Erik Karlsson was a Sens automatic participant, so Hoffman was hard-pressed to squeeze into one of the six forward spots. And I get it. I agree. Even as a Leafs fan, I was like, okay, this seems a little ridiculous.
Okay, it is what it is. I don't care. It's an all-star game. Whatever. Question of the day. And we're going to end it here. Mm-hmm. I know what we just said. We don't care about the all-star game. However, do you think, question of the, just yes or no, don't explain this. Mm-hmm. Do you think John Tavares makes it in as last man?
Hold on.
Here are your options.
Let me cookie.
Here are your options.
Okay.
Barkov, McAvoy, Lucas Raymond, Stamkos, John Tavares, Tage Thompson from Buffalo.
Oh my God.
Brady Tkachuk or Tyler Toffoli?
Oh my God, the players are way better. Oh, okay. I'm not gonna. Okay. Will he get in? I say. Oh man, I don't know.
I'd say no. I don't. I'd say no. He does not.
Hold on. I think so. I think he does.
So?
And I think so. Strictly because this is a fan voting event.
True.
If it were someone like, let's just go down the list here. Buffalo Sabres fans are not voting in Tage Thompson.
There's Buffalo Sabres fans.
Exactly. Florida Panthers fans are not voting in Alex Barkov, in my opinion. Kodak Black might, but that's another story. The only guys I can really see with a legitimate chance to knock off Tavares would be Stamkos.
Yeah.
And maybe like McAvoy.
Yeah.
But like, maybe Brady Tkachuk, but like the only real threats I see are like McAvoy and Steven Stamkos. But even Steven Stamkos, I love Tampa Bay Lightning fans are nuts, but I also don't think they're the type of fans who go in and vote Steven Stamkos in last man. I hope he makes it. I really like Steven Stamkos, not even just as a hockey player, but just as a guy. I actually saw him at the 2019 NBA Finals, which is kind of funny. actually, I have a picture of him. I think he makes it.
Yeah, okay.
I know, and I know you told me just to say yes or no, but I feel like I had to justify myself.
Fine. Yeah, I mean, for the same reason, I see him not making it in because I just have a feeling like Stamkos will. And that's the guy I have my eyes on. I don't know.
I think, and I
just don't give a shit.
Yeah, like Raymond should be there, Barkov should be there, Stamkos should be there, and Tavares should be there.
Yeah.
The MLB All-Star game a couple years ago had one where like 7 of the 9 starting positions were Kansas City Royals. Like that's the complete opposite.
You know what they need to do? Screw the veterans. Just have a rookie only tournament or like an All-Star break or something. Because you know what I want to see? I want to see crazy shit. I want to see like Michigan's the entire game.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to see any slap shots or hardest shots or whatever. Screw that shit. Just do Michigan's the entire time.
I don't even think the rookies to do that though. You could take Austin Matthews tried doing it like 2 nights ago in tried doing it last night in Arizona. Okay, this is the last note I'll make on the All-Star game. I think the way it should work is I think baseball has it down and like all the other leagues have it down like down pat. Again, I'm not 100% sure how the NHL All-Star game voting works, but the way I think it should be is you split up like the proportion of like percentages in terms of like who makes it. So I think basically all the other leagues except maybe the Pro Bowl. I have no idea how the Pro Bowl works, to be honest with you. But most of them was like, okay, so you have the fans do the fan voting, and then the players do their vote. Then like I think the like the coaches and like other executives do their vote, and they basically that's how they come up with the starters. And then I think like basically the head whoever's coaching the team fills out the rest of the roster. I think that's how it should work, just given that they're gonna pick the best players available as opposed to, okay, we need a rep from the Detroit Red Wings. Who should we grab? And they didn't even grab the best rep, man. How do you not pick Lucas Raymond to represent the Detroit Red Wings at the All-Star game?
I don't.
Anyways, this is a stupid conversation considering this game means literally nothing. But like, man, like this is
we got so heated sad. Over something that we were like, we're not going to spend more time on this, but we spent the last 35 minutes on the All-Star
game. I don't care. This is a topic I'm very passionate about.
Fair enough. Me too.
But also don't care about.
Me too.
It's a fine line.
Okay, let's stop there. This was fun.
Yeah, it was actually. I had a lot of fun doing this one. We'll be back Monday with some more fun stuff for you. Or maybe Tuesday. I don't know. I have to figure out my schedule a little bit. Might be a Tuesday thing.
That's okay.
We'll figure it out and we'll let you know.
Yep. Till then, thanks for listening. Like and subscribe. Do your thing and have a good weekend.
link trees in the bio. Everything you need in terms of keeping up to date with us is in our Twitter bio, Instagram bio. And if you don't follow those, you should, because what's wrong with you? But yeah,
what's wrong? What are you doing?
What's the matter with you? What are you doing?
Go,
you stupid.
We're waiting.